got a little bone to pick with the programming department. Would it kill you every once in a while to play a little Fog Hat?
Send this to all my listeners. Yeah. All of you. And what I mean is, while properly socially distanced, coming to you from the Carter Subaru studio. It's the final hour. Oh, yeah. Yeah. In a platonic sort of way. You know what I'm talking about. The love that we share every day from noon to three. Coming to you from the Carter Subaru studio. Welcome. It's the final hour of our broadcast week. So we better make this count. We got, we got stuff coming up next week. Already in the works. Actress Patricia Heaton, best known for Everybody Loves Raymond. She's going to be on the big show. Dinesh D'Souza, who has a great book about how socialism is tearing our country apart, and it's particularly relevant to our region. We will we'll have all of that for you coming up in the next week. So don't miss a day. Always check our podcast. Our podcast numbers. People are just downloading this show like you can't believe, and I appreciate it. And again, if you're listening right now, Friday night, over the weekend, Monday morning, you've driven just some of the biggest podcast numbers imaginable. So give yourself a little fist pump right now, right now. That's for you. Give yourself that fist pump for downloading the show if you can't listen live. Okay, before I get to the big lead here, a listener just texted this to me. And I checked it out to see if it was true, and it is. And so we have a bonus, because we did some in the Fast 15, but we actually have a bonus cancel culture update for you today.
This is your cancel culture update.
Okay, of all the things that you would think would not be subject to cancel culture, it would be one of the few things that seems to bring us all together. I mean, if you have, there are a few songs that my wife and I know, our girls in their 20s and 30s know, the kids who I still stay in touch with who are in high school through my coaching days, that they know. Sean, wouldn't you agree that this is one of the most, because you go to karaoke a fair amount, don't you, Sean?
Yeah, karaoke is great.
You, what's your go-to karaoke song?
I enjoy singing Mother by Danzig. It's in my range of more like the growling.
Uh-huh.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Mother by Danzig?
Yeah, do you know that one?
I don't. Sing a few bars for me?
Sure. Mother, tell your children not to come our way. You know, I'm just like Glenn Danzig, but, you know, worse.
You sounded more like Elvis there.
Oh, thank you.
You sounded like a drug-addled Elvis.
Yes,
as you were doing
I'm eating a peanut butter and banana sandwich on the toilet right now.
Now, Chris Martin, who's producing today, you're a musician. You have a fantastic band. Are you a karaoke guy as well?
No, not really. I always get too nervous just thinking about waiting for my song to come up.
So you have no problem just playing the guitar, but you would not, you don't like singing karaoke?
I like to get paid for my work.
That is a very good answer. All right. The song, there are a couple of songs that I think bridge generations. I think kids know it. I think my kids know it. I, you know, kids, I mean, like little kids, 12, 14, 16-year-olds. We were on a cruise last summer and did a lot of karaoke, and the young kids all knew these songs. My girls in their 20s and 30s know these songs. Everybody. One is Journey's Don't Stop Believin', and the other one is this one, Sean DeTore.
Touching hands, reaching out, touching me, touching you.
Well, I'm sorry to tell you that an Irish pub has banned Neil Diamond's Sweet Caroline from the playlist there. The reason is because this song invariably gets the entire bar singing. And they say that aggressive singing of this song, because everybody, you know, it's wah, wah, wah. They say that aggressive singing of Sweet Caroline creates droplets that linger in the air and help spread the coronavirus. And so the pub has now banned Sweet Caroline. They have a sign in the window saying, no reaching out, no touching hands, no touching me, no touching you. And so, all right, here, let's listen just a couple more seconds. But you can't do it in a bar anymore. I'm sorry to say, this is 2020, and Sweet Caroline, you have been
canceled.
All right, that's a bonus cancel culture update. Wah, wah, wah spreads droplets. Is there any science behind anything that we're doing these days? Are we just throwing stuff at the wall and seeing what sticks? All right, with that as mere prelude, let me get right to the big lead.
Your read on the big lead.
As you heard exclusively on the Dory Monson Show earlier this afternoon, thanks to the exclusive work of Mariah Frost at the Washington Policy Center, she has obtained documents from Jay Inslee's office that they are strongly considering as fast as possible. You know, there's a huge budget deficit, and government never will make cuts. The only reason there's a budget deficit is not coronavirus. It is because of wild, out-of-control spending. In fact, what they call cuts, they're actually going to spend more next year than this year in Olympia. But Jay Inslee calls it a draconian cut because he can't increase spending as much as he would like. So they will never cut back government. What they will do is raise your and my taxes. And what the Washington Policy Center revealed on our show a couple of hours ago is there is a document in the governor's office they obtained through a public disclosure request that they want to implement tolling every inch of every road in the state. Now, this is not a surprise if you're a longtime listener. I've been telling you, I'm so proud. This is one of my proudest prescient moments ever on the show, because 20 years ago, I told you there's a 20-year plan to implement tolling every single road. And it has happened exactly as my sources back in 1999 told me. And so now Jay Inslee has this plan. They can't take away the gas tax, because there are a lot of projects that are bonded against the gas tax. And so they are going to add to the gas tax what they call a road usage charge, a per mile fee for every mile you drive. But they also say in this document they're looking at additional revenues, which is, I am confident, what my sources have told me. They want to make it a variable toll. So they will get a transponder in every vehicle. So government will track where you drive, when you drive. And as I say, if you want to take your kids to school in the neighborhood, oh no, there is no school. I'll get to that next in the Big League. But if you want to take your kids to the grocery store, maybe it's 25-cent toll. You want to go into downtown Seattle in rush hour, it might be a $25 toll on you. And this is the plan. Check out, I put up on Twitter, Maria's on her tweets that have these documents are on my Twitter right now. If you go at Dory Monson and you can check it out. But there is a plan to now toll every single road in Olympia. I am getting tremendous response from you, from the 206. Can they shove a transponder up my behind and pay me for every mile I walk instead of driving? I like that idea. And then the 405 tolls from the 808. The 405 tolls failed to remedy traffic, but let's control or collect the toll anyway. Yeah, no, they said that it would just free things up on 405. From the 360, how much will the toll cost to hightail it out of state? That's what we're seeing in New York. As they drive taxes up, Andrew Cuomo was begging rich people to come back to the city because the city is failing. They put a radical Bill de Blasio in charge, and the city of New York is facing calamity, bankruptcy, failure, rampant crime, crime up 286% on the Upper East Side of New York last month. Murders are skyrocketing in New York City. And the people who are mobile, they get out. So every time government does this, they're discriminating against the poor and the working class, which is what is happening in our schools as well. So anyway, thank you for all the feedback. If they move forward with the tolls, I will fight it with every ounce of professional energy that I have, because this will crush especially the poor and the working class families in our state. The wealthy people, they can handle tolls. They can pay a couple thousand bucks a year in tolls. If you're working class and you're already paying your taxes, and then they say you're going to have to, you and your spouse are going to have to pay another $3,000, $4,000 in tolls a year, that breaks families. And I will not sit by without fighting to protect the working class families in this state who will get crushed by this. But again, their whole purpose is to force you onto COVID-riddled buses and trains, on the rolling Petri dishes around our region, where they allow the homeless to get on for free, where a Metro bus driver, I read you his email a couple days ago, is scared to death to just do his job because of the, as he was the one who described it as a rolling Petri dish. That's what they want for all of us. Up next in the Big Lead.
The Big Lead. I sense a Dory rant coming on.
It's very interesting that Andrew Cuomo, the governor of New York State, the state that's been hit the hardest with coronavirus deaths, largely because Andrew Cuomo sent the elderly to quarantine in nursing homes with COVID patients so they could die. Andrew Cuomo engineered the death of so many people in New York State. But New York State is going to open its schools for in-class learning this fall, just announced today by Andrew Cuomo.
Today is the deadline to look at the infection rates and make a determination. By our infection rates, all school districts can open. Everywhere in the state, every region is below the threshold that we established, which is just great news.
So the hot zone for coronavirus in the country is now able to open schools so children can have in-class learning. Mayor Bill de Blasio, the man who has single-handedly destroyed New York City.
We need to open schools because we know just extraordinary number. We have 1.1 million school kids. And three-quarters of our families have said they want their kids back in school. They want that support. They want the kids to do better educationally than they can do remotely. They want everything that goes with school, the social development, the mental health services, physical health services, food. It's our obligation to do our very best for parents and families. But we're going to work with the state to figure out what's safe.
You know what's bizarre? A couple of weeks ago, Donald Trump said he wanted schools reopened, and the media went berserk. He's going to kill children. And then a couple of leftist politicians, Cuomo and de Blasio, they say they want to reopen schools. And the leftist media said, oh, isn't that wonderful? What a great job they've done to make the schools safe for kids. But let's move back to our state now. So Jay Inslee still says, even though the Centers for Disease Control says that the increase in teen suicides and overdoses is far greater than any teen COVID death number would be. So we have a certainty now. We have stats, data, that children are dying because of this stay at home. They are committing suicide. They are overdosing on drugs. Every kid on the margin, I talked about this yesterday, every single kid on the margin is not going to get any education in our state now. Because for a lot of kids, and I'll just repeat what I said yesterday, for a lot of kids on the margin, sports is what keeps them in school. They want to stay eligible so that they can play football, basketball, baseball, whatever their sport of choice is. And so, you know, kids who would otherwise be chronic absentees or tardies, they know, well, if I don't go to class, I can't go to practice this afternoon, so I'll go to class. I mean, it provides a motivation. And so every kid on the margin is going to fail now. Every kid, every single kid is going to get an education that is a distant facsimile of what in-class learning could provide. We're going to sit kids in front of a laptop in Washington State, and they can stare at their cell phone and text their friends while some lesson is prattling on online. And you know, Jay Inslee, as opposed to the governor of New York, who's reopening schools, then you have the governor of Washington.
We are strongly recommending that school districts move mostly online or remote learning modes. We also strongly recommend canceling or postponing all in-person extracurricular activities, including sports and performing arts.
Andrew Cuomo's in the belly of the beast, and they're reopening schools. My question remains, Jay Inslee, are you closing the schools for a legitimate public health reason, or are you closing the schools so you can perpetuate this fear and this climate where people can easily be controlled as long as they are more and more fearful of the hysteria that government officials are shoveling at us? What's the real truth now that New York's opening its schools? And that is your big lead this hour.
The Big Lead on Cairo Radio.
Gonna check the news for you. And then, you want a real cancel culture update? We spoke exclusively with Cliff Mass, the UW professor, who got fired from his radio gig. And if you haven't heard why, don't miss it. I'll have a recap of our conversation next on the Dory Monson Show. Trying to talk to you over my mic during the news there, Sean.
Oh, you were. I'm sorry I didn't have you in queue.
I think we could transition from this to a little Cascade. I just, I'm feeling Cascade today.
Oh, I see. Yeah, you want some of the OG mix.
Yeah, is that okay?
Oh, that's totally okay.
Can you do it? Can you pull it off?
Yeah.
Can you do the blend? Can you mix master these two?
Oh, gosh. I mean, I was born with a turntable in my hand.
And you have a cassette tape tattooed on your arm.
That's pure fact, not fiction.
That is pure fact. In case people don't believe it, Sean DeTore has an unspooled cassette tape tattooed on his forearm.
It's true. You ready for the story?
I still don't know why. I respect it, though. Oh, look at that. Look at that.
You couldn't even tell where that edit was, could you?
DJ DeTore right there.
I prefer DJ Tanner. Yes, it's a Full House joke.
Even I got that one, and I'm old. Yeah, should I get something substantial here? Just keep prattling along. I like Fridays. Fridays have a good feel. Fridays have a good vibe. Fridays, my what's Fridays? My jam. It's more pathetic than a 58-year-old guy saying Friday's my jam.
Maybe since you are an older gentleman, you could say Friday is my preserves.
Yes, the only jam I care about is freezer. Okay, just joining us. Where the heck you been? And more importantly, why are you still listening after the last 3 minutes, for crying out loud? Okay, cancel culture, which we joke about a lot, but it's very real. And what's happening around here especially is an intense, maniacal demand to control your and my minds. And what I love about the people who listen to this radio show, like me, you probably tend to be a bit of a nonconformist. You don't like to engage in groupthink. You don't like others telling you what you must think and believe and feel about things. The reason I bring this up is because Cliff Mass, he's a professor of atmospheric science at the University of Washington. He's a frequent guest on our radio show. And yesterday he wrote a rather scathing indictment of what he saw around downtown Seattle and the politics that led to this. The first graph in his blog post: take a walk around downtown Seattle, you will be shocked by a shuttered, dystopian city and made angry by the inaction and ineptness of the political leadership. It is simply beyond words. And so he went on and he said, not all protesters, but specifically, and the Seattle Times did a bit of a hit piece on him because they completely mischaracterized what Cliff wrote. He didn't say all protesters are like Nazi brown shirts, but he did say the most violent are smashing windows, beating Queen Anne residents outside their home for no apparent reason, just wanton, random violence. And he said that the most violent of the protesters are like the Nazi brown shirts, mandating how everybody else must think. He said that seeing all the boarded up shop windows, block after block after block in downtown Seattle, some with even a fortress-like barrier, he said that he thought of Kristallnacht, the night of broken glass, when the Nazis smashed the shop windows of the Jews. And that's what came to his mind. He wrote about it. And for that, Cliff Mass got fired from a radio gig. He did a hit every week on NPR KNKX. And Cliff emailed me last night to tell me that he had been fired from that gig. And so I got him on the show today to talk about what has transpired.
What is not known is I almost was silenced a few months ago about something completely separate, and that's due to, that's for the climate activists. You know, the 350.org had a petition that I should be taken off the air because I didn't provide, you know, an extreme enough version of climate change, and I didn't talk about climate change on every show. And they went to some of the, you know, well-off contributors to KNKX, and there was intense pressure to kick me off the station, and it came very close. Finally, the station did an analysis of my science. This is all published. This is all online. And they found that I was perfectly, I was fine, I was accurate. They even had the ombudsman of NPR National look at me. And
okay, and all, his science was right, but he wasn't radical enough on climate change. And so then he writes about what's happening in downtown Seattle, and now he gets fired for that. He's a Jewish man who said walking around Seattle conjured thoughts of what he had heard of the brown shirts and Kristallnacht and how violent, you know, garbage people are trying to, with force, with violence, they're trying to mandate how people think. And he also noted that too much of the media is just going along with the mob.
I had that problem with the Seattle Times this morning. They had a headline suggesting that I was claiming that I was suggesting that all the protesters are Nazis, and that's not true at all. I was simply saying that the people who were doing violence were acting like the brown shirts. You know, the peaceful protesters are fine. Sure. That is protected speech, but it's the violence that's what's wrong. And that's what we have to stand up to. And unfortunately, some people who want to defund the Seattle Police Department are not working on the right side of this. I mean, you're not going to have less violence if you have half the police. That's simply not going to happen.
Okay, so he dared to speak a dissenting view. Now, if you have any credibility whatsoever, like NPR, KNKX, and one of your contributors says something that some at the station disagree with, you know what you do? You have Cliff on, and you say, hey, Cliff, explain your view. And then you challenge him, and you disagree with him, and you have a debate. But debate is not allowed. Dissent is not allowed in Seattle, in the Puget Sound area in 2020. It is, if you disagree with me, I will destroy you. I will try to ruin you. If you are a far-left city council member, but you don't vote to defund the police by 50%, we will come to your home. We will terrorize you and your family until your mind gets right. What has happened to Cliff Mass is a scathing indictment of this NPR, KNKX, NPR, they get a bunch of government funding, and they are censoring thought. You know, if a private radio station wants to do that, that's one thing. When a station that I know they're listener-funded, and they do the begathons and all of that. But they don't want to have dissenting views. They don't want to have an open conversation. It is just comply, bend your mind and your thoughts to what we demand, or you're gone. And this is happening everywhere. It's probably happening in your workplace right now. And I'll try to continue to be the haven for all of us who refuse to bend to the groupthink. Awesome audio of the week coming up next. Damn, the stretch week. What a week, what a show, what a show, what a week. And it is time to count down our favorite sound bites of the entire week.
This is Dory Monson's Awesome Audio, Clips of the Week.
Our presidential candidates gave us lots of fodder. Donald Trump, he announced a historic infusion of funding into our national parks, which I love. I love our national parks. But, Mr. President, you got to learn how to say Yosemite.
We want every American child to have access to pristine outdoor spaces. When young Americans experience the breathtaking beauty of the Grand Canyon, when their eyes widen in amazement as Old Faithful bursts into the sky, when they gaze upon Yosemites, towering sequoias.
No, it's not Yosemites, it's Yosemites. Then there's Joe. Joe, did you take a cognitive test like you said you had?
Have you taken a cognitive
test? No, I haven't taken a test. Why the hell would I take a test? Come on, man. That's like saying you, before you got in this program, if you take a test where you're taking cocaine or not, what do you think, huh? Are you a junkie?
What do you say?
Okay, that was problematic. That's a black reporter. And Joe's analogy to him taking a cognitive test, which he claimed a month ago he took regularly, and then a black reporter asks him, he says, are you on cocaine? Are you a junkie? The day before, he says that there's no diversity in among blacks in America. The man, Kamala Harris is right. The man's a racist. And went on, it's really
to
bad.
To President Trump, who brags about his tests and makes your mental state an issue for voters.
Well, if he can't figure out the difference between an elephant and a lion, I don't know what the hell he's talking about. Did you watch that? Look, come on, man. I know you're trying to goad me, but I mean, I'm so forward looking to have an opportunity to sit with the president or stand with the president in debates. There's going to be plenty of time. And by the way, as I joke with him, you know, I shouldn't say it. I'm going to say something I probably shouldn't say. Anyway, I am very willing to let the American public judge my physical, mental, my physical as well as my mental fitness.
Man. And then finally for the week, our good friend Pat O'Day passed away a couple of days ago, 86 years old. Pat O'Day, just a Northwest legend. A radio broadcaster, a hydroplane play-by-play guy, a concert promoter who brought Elvis and the Beatles, who was a good friend of Jimi Hendrix. The Beach Boys came to Seattle because of him. Just a great Seattle character. And had become a really dear friend the last few years. When Pat got fired from the hydro play-by-play gig, I got him on the show. And his last call of a hydroplane race ever was right here on the Big Show. So now the question, what are you going to be doing that first Sunday in August?
I don't know. You know, for years in Seattle, I was Mr. Rock and Roll, and then I was Mr. Hydros. I guess now I'll just be the old Schicksale Hospital guy.
You just keep, you're like Madonna. You just keep reinventing yourself, Pat.
My wife this morning, I got a call from one of the television stations, and she just said, low-profile Pat's at it again.
Yeah, that's right. Well, would you do me a favor, Pat? And this is asking a lot, but would you, because when I was a kid growing up in Seattle, it was always Atlas Van Lines and the Miss Bardoll. Would you just call right now those two coming out of the turn for me one time?
The Atlas and the Bardoll?
Yeah.
Okay. Ladies and gentlemen, we're in the final heat of the day here at Seafair. On the course, those two battling for the national championship and battling for that treasured Seafair Cup. The Budweiser, Bernie Little's magnificent Budweiser with Dean Chenoweth, and in the blue blaster, Bill Muncy. They're in the back stretch. The checkered flag is about to fall. They're in the final floating bridge turn, those rooster tails throwing thousands of gallons of water into the air. And now, at the exit buoy, here they come, 200 yards, they're neck and neck, the Bud, the Atlas, the Bud, the Atlas. It's Bill Muncy and the Atlas.
Yeah!
He's done it again.
Yeah, and so has Pat O'Day done it again. Oh, man, Pat, they're making a big mistake, my friend.
Well, they get to do what they do, and... Dory, you are so neat to put me on your great radio show today.
That's Pat O'Day. Rest well, my friend. Tom and Curly coming up next. Have a great weekend. See you Monday. High noon. Hit up.
This is gotcha journalism, but you know what? They're not going to gotcha me.
Thank you very much, ladies and gentlemen. You're really a fantastic audience.